only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
You like Huey Lewis on the news?
Now go home and get your fucking shine box. Big mistake. Big, huge.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
At a big San Francisco.
Hey!
The joiner.
Ah, there's no crying in baseball.
No mercy.
I love you.
No.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
You ready?
Let's do it.
what's
Don't
running
do
in?
It with this pod, man.
Are you ready?
What are we saying?
Babe, are you ready?
No. Say no.
Absolutely
say
not.
Say no.
Just, are you ready?
No.
Negative.
Well, then for the three people in attendance, zero people listening at home, because this is a brand new podcast, for Mark, for coming out to New York for this, for Tara, for being beautiful and sitting right next to me. Ooh.
Oh,
let's get ready to podcast!
I hate you on the other podcast. I hate you even more on this one.
He's very dramatic.
All right. Are you guys ready?
Yep.
All right, let's do this.
Go.
Welcome, everyone, to the inaugural episode of Cinephiles. That sounds very, very ominous. Cinephiles.
It does. I'm actually scared to say it. It makes me scared.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Cinephiles podcast, the podcast about everything cinema, movies, and TV. I am joined here, but to my left, the beautiful, lovely, and weirdly smelling wonderful Mark.
Hello, everybody.
And to my right, I have also beautiful, lovely, smells delicious, and my girlfriend.
Hello.
It's Tara. All right, guys, we are going to be talking about movies and TV shows, and we're going to kick it off with things that we love, horror movies. Two movies came out recently, Scream and Halloween Kills, and we're going to be breaking them down both of those in this one mega episode to kick off the Cinephiles podcast. We're going to tell you our scores, what we thought of them, and we're going to compare them. And at the end of the episode, we're going to tell you which one we like more than the other. Granted, they're not related to each other, but for two new horror movies, we'll tell you which one you should see and which one you should throw in the toilet. Right, Mark?
Yes.
I think we're going to be on the same page with this, right?
I don't know.
Like, because we're always on the same page with everything.
We are never.
Okay, fair enough. He makes a very salient point. Okay, guys, which one do you want to do first? What do you want to do, Scream, or do you want to do Halloween, hon? I'll let you pick, because you're so good at making decisions.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Let's do Scream.
Let's do Scream first. I'm for it. I'm here for it. All right. This is Scream 2022, the one that just came out this past January, directed by Matt Bettinelli. Open and Tyler Gillette. Writers were James Vanderbilt and Guy Buschuk. It was produced by William Schrock, James Vanderbilt, and Paul Neinstein. Ran for about 114 minutes. And here's the big numbers here, because this one's interesting. It cost 24 mil to make, and at the time of me getting these numbers, which was about a couple days ago, $120.7 million in box office alone. That's impressive.
Yeah, that is.
For a horror movie, that's pretty fucking impressive. These next numbers are even more impressive for a horror movie, guys. 78% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, 82% viewer score on Rotten Tomatoes. Guys, this movie is certified fresh. That means that it has maintained a 75% or higher rating throughout, I think it's 100 or 150 reviews. This is a certified fresh horror movie, guys. That's something. I mean, that I can't think off the top of my head of another horror movie that's ever been certified fresh or at least gotten this much critical acclaim. What about you two?
Not the original Halloween?
I don't know if it's a certified fresh. I can look it up real quick. if you had to guess what you would say, Halloween, the original?
I would say the original Halloween.
What would you put in that classification, Tara, as far as a certified fresh horror movie?
Probably the original Halloween and Halloween Kills.
I don't think, no, Halloween Kills was not certified fresh. That I know for certain. And we will be discussing that in a little bit. Halloween, 1978. Let's see. Oh, shit. 96% certified fresh. 89%. But honestly, when you talk about the original Halloween, you're talking about a fucking, like, not even just a horror classic, a movie classic.
Yeah, I could watch that movie all year round.
Yeah, and it's solid. It's a solid flick beginning to end.
Love it.
All right. Tara, what about Scream did you love? Let's hear it.
I loved the opening scene.
Opening kill, right?
Yes.
Okay. We were just actually talking about that. We were, funny enough, we were just watching this movie just before. But yeah, we were all saying how the opening kill probably as brutal, if not more brutal than the original, the OG Scream. And we all said how interesting it was that the killer, or the person being attacked, I'm sorry, person being attacked, made it through and didn't die.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, and she made it through the whole entire film.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice twist to the original that she makes it out.
Excuse me, I was drinking. My apologies, guys. Okay, so the original person, or actually the opening girl, obviously the original opening girl, Drew Barrymore, gets gutted like a fish, and apparently I heard they left her liver in the mailbox. Oh. Did you hear they left her liver in the mailbox?
Leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
I knew he was going to do that.
I had to throw it in there. It's my thing. It's a classic line. It really is. So for me, all around Scream, solid, solid story. Loved them bringing in, as they called it, the legacy characters mixed in with the new group who have ties to the legacy characters. And I love, hate the addition of Billy Loomis's daughter. I don't know how I feel about it still to this moment after watching it again. It felt a little forced, I guess you could say. But I still love the idea of Billy Loomis's legacy living on. As weird as that is, like, the OG killer is still so loved without the, in the movies.
I love the, I don't know if I liked, like, I don't want to shit on the actress. I don't know if I really liked it that much.
Okay.
But I loved the Billy Loomis cameo.
Yes.
If that makes any
sense. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. I think in order to have that cameo, you had to have it go back to Billy Loomis. You know what I mean? You had to have her as a daughter.
It was interesting. I remember when we saw it in theaters, actually, Tara and I, Billy shows up on screen and you see him in the mirror and I was like, oh shit. And, very cool little, ad in there. Like I said, you know, I like that the legacy characters also, they didn't overshadow the newcomers. Like, it wasn't like movie starts, bam, here's Sydney, bam, here's Gail, bam, here's Dewey. They dropped them in every once in a while. They really didn't take ownership of the movie per se.
No, they didn't.
I mean, how do you feel?
I feel like I agree with you. I like how they're like kind of passing the torch onto the new characters. Okay. And so you got a little bit of the backstory, and then they came in, like you said, just dropped in little by little. And then like Sydney came in like a little towards the end. Because she really didn't even want to come back, but she came back because, you know, Dewey died.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, basically, he calls her. She obviously just completely like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not coming back. And then, obviously, Dewey bites the big one. The Dewey death. I'll start with you, babe. What did you feel about the Dewey death? Was it deserved? Was it awesome? Or how'd you feel?
I thought it was freaking brutal.
Okay.
You know, he's got stabbed in the front, stabbed in the back, and, like, ripped apart, you know, and Gail was calling him at the time of his death, so that was a little hurtful. But I felt like I think he needed to die in this one for the next one to go on.
You wanted Dewey to die?
Yeah.
You think he's a scumbag?
No. Oh. He's not a scumbag, but I knew either, you know, one of them had to die, so I figured it would probably be him.
Mark?
I hated it. I hated it. I hated the way he went out. I don't think Dewey would fall for the, you know, his phone going off, he'd go to answer it right in the middle of shooting.
But it was Ghostface.
Yeah, but still, he knows the rules. He's the one that,
I know.
He's the one that mentions the rules in the movie. He's already
he took over the Randy role.
He took over the Randy role. He's ahead of the game.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he just does that big misstep, and I'm just like...
That was a huge misstep.
His character wouldn't do that. But I hated that.
Can we just talk about one thing real quick? How badass was that entire scene with him, like, leaving the guys in the elevator, and then he empties his fucking barrel, reloads the barrel, like, everything in slow-mo, the barrel, the bullets dropping on the floor. Like, literally, you knew it was coming because that scene was so ominous. Just the direction of that scene was brilliant in the art style and everything.
Oh yeah, it was. It was shot beautifully. But yeah. I just don't agree with him going out like that.
All right. If I had to choose, I would have killed fucking Sydney. I can't stand the bitch. She's as ugly as ever. She needs to get the fuck out of these movies.
Oh my god.
Just facts. I spit facts, babe. That's what this podcast is about.
You're out of your fucking You need to start wearing glasses, my
friend. I do need to wear glasses, actually. I just refuse to. I look like this fucker over here.
Yeah, but at least I can see that Nev Campbell is fucking beautiful.
She's not. First of all, she's not. She's a good-looking woman if you're a 90-year-old, you know, geriatric patient.
If you're a 34-year-old man like me, you find Nev Campbell very attractive. Oh my
gosh. Is Nev Campbell attractive, yes or no? Bring it to the woman right now.
I think she's pretty, but she's not, like, gorgeous. I think she's just, like, average. She's a pretty woman.
Walking down the street.
Mike, make her sleep outside.
Oh, fuck off.
Now, the first fuck off of the night, ladies and gentlemen.
There'll be many.
All right. So, anything else? What else did you, Mark, what was one of the things that really stuck out for you that you loved about this movie?
I loved how brutal Ghostface was in this one.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Those stabs and those kills really meant something in this one.
As weird as it is, one of my favorites was the car kill scene.
Yeah.
You had mentioned it could be Stu's.
What I heard, I think he was like a relative of Stu.
Okay.
That was like his way of into the movie,
I guess. In there. But like that scene, like you hear the song, first of all, from the first movie. Love that fucking song. And then he turns off the car, stops the song, and then fucking Ghostface just jabs the knife into his throat. And it was just so fierce and abrupt.
What about the West kill?
That
one broke my heart. I guess I'm attached to the name Wes because I know it's a tribute to Wes Craven.
Yeah, absolutely.
So watching him go out like that, I was like, why would they do that?
Yeah, they did him dirty.
Yeah, they did, man.
Really quickly, can you just pull that into you just a little bit so you don't have to lean?
Yeah.
Good? Yeah, sure. I'm sorry. So yeah, the Wes scene, that's another one. Like we were talking about how just... Again, ominous that scene was because even, funny enough, my son was watching it with us, but Noah mentioned how, you know, you hear that music like picking up and you hear it and you think, oh man, here comes Ghostface. And then all of a sudden, nope, no Ghostface yet.
Double whammy with Judy Hicks.
With Judy.
The way she gets it in broad daylight was insane. I mean, I don't think have we seen that?
No,
before?
That was the first time that there was a kill in broad daylight in a front,
Randy went out in daylight, but you don't really see.
But he was in a van.
He was in a van,
so you don't really.
And
she's like out in the open.
Out in the open.
Neighbors going by.
Interesting tidbit with Randy's death is at the end of that movie, the second movie. Billy's mother actually says, "I wasn't gonna kill Randy," but then he started talking shit about my son, and that was basically an impromptu death. So, like, it just obviously as far as story goes, but, like, she didn't originally intend to kill Randy, just kind of torment him. Then Randy started talking shit about Billy. She had to get a little stab happy.
Randy should have never died.
I would say if you could bring back one character from this entire series, like, from one now, who's the one character you would bring back?
Randy.
I would bring back two.
Okay, well, you're breaking the rules, but go ahead. You're going to do whatever the fuck you want anyways.
Yeah, no. Randy, of course, and Kirby.
They have confirmed that Kirby's not dead. They've confirmed she's not dead.
Kirby's not dead?
Yeah.
She'll come back.
I'd love to see her in sex.
Hell yeah.
You would love to see her in sex?
I love Kirby.
Well, yeah. But also in six.
In six. I mean, she was easily one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, I loved her.
I loved four.
Me too.
Can we talk about how I love Scream 4?
Okay, let's talk about Scream 4.
I love Scream 4.
It was great.
I loved it too.
Everybody now like bashes it, and I'm like, where are all these haters coming from? Because I thought it was a great movie.
I thought it was great too, because I hate 3.
I was going to say, Scream 4 is my second favorite. This one ended up as my third favorite in the entire trilogy, in the entire series.
I think I would say 4 and 5 are definitely better than 2 and 3.
Yes.
Yes, because I hated 3 so much.
I think everybody hates 3.
Yeah.
I don't hate 3.
Well, it's your problem.
It was horrible.
This is one of my franchises that I don't think there's a bad movie. I just think the other ones are better.
I think you need to watch Scream 3 again.
No.
You're probably misremembering how bad it is.
No, the only thing I hated about Scream 3 was
her brother is the killer?
No, Sydney's mom flashback scenes?
Yeah.
Those were terrible. That was like 80s, like cheesy.
The whole thing was just terrible.
I mean, the Cotton Weary murder in the beginning really like.
I was gonna say you were talking about that. Yeah.
Well, that was probably the best part of the whole movie was.
Ooh, cotton kills.
Yeah, the cotton and
was the beginning.
Yeah, the opening scene.
Because as that movie went on, it just got worse and worse and worse.
You didn't like the brother reveal?
No.
Yeah, it was one of those.
It was like. Okay, it could have been someone else.
Yeah, no, everybody shits on 3. And maybe it wasn't the best, but 2 had a lot of shit in it, too.
2,
him singing on the table. 2
wasn't that great either.
I didn't like that
shit.
But
it was better than 3.
I was going to say, 2 is better than 3. 2 got a... 2 was really where it started becoming very, what is it, meta, I think is the term?
Yeah.
And they started, you know, really dialing into that whole, like, we're not in a horror movie mentality. You know, obviously it was the introduction of the stab movies in the series. Okay, really quickly, what are some of the things that we did not like about the movie? I'll throw it over to you first, Mark.
What I didn't like about the movie?
Mm-hmm.
I would say the reveal at the end really bothered me. I thought they were going to go... really crazy on this one, and they really didn't. And it felt like that's where you're going with this.
Yeah,
and the reasoning for doing all this in the movie was so dumb. The reasoning for why they did all this was so dumb. I thought it was gonna be something a lot bigger than that.
I was gonna say, like, it felt very much like 2. Besides Billy's mom, because the other one was the film student, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
Who was with her, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was just like, oh, you know, I always have to make a good sequel. Like, we're making the good sequel. But, yeah, like, you have the boyfriend and this weird girl who's a friend of this whole entire group. What really bothered me about this movie, and I feel like it's a problem with a lot of movies lately, the trailers are too revealing.
Oh, yeah.
Too revealing. I mean... I was literally just watching the Doctor Strange trailer, and there is so much shit in that trailer that we shouldn't be seeing.
I hate it.
And it's, you know, I don't mean to go this way, but Mark and I have a wrestling podcast, and it goes to the whole thing of, like, everything is ruined nowadays. Like, there's no surprises anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I remember we were talking about that on the show. And it just, it's ridiculous. Like, surprise me. Like, I would have loved to have seen in this movie Gale's, like, I knew that Dewey was dying because of the trailer. You saw the ending scene of one of the killers getting burned. Like, why are you showing that?
Everybody knew when you saw her screaming, getting held back. You knew who it was.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you could have put another scene in there, and we could have been like, okay, like, you know, we don't have to know that Dewey's dying.
No.
We could have speculated. But I felt like that scene almost lost its value because of the trailer. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I absolutely agree, too.
All right. One of the things I can't stand is this whole meta shtick, and I had mentioned it before, but it's funny. Yes, I get it, and it adds to the comedic element of the Scream series, but I feel like we're over it. And I really hope with the 6th movie, they kind of really drift away from it and go back into, like, a really deep, dark slasher movie.
I would love that. I want it to be scary again.
Yeah.
Because this one, it had its moments.
Yeah.
But overall, I wasn't sitting there like, oh, this is scary.
It had brutal death scenes, but overall it felt more like a comedy horror, right?
Yeah. It was like light-hearted while also being really brutal.
Yeah.
You know?
What about you, Tara? What are some of the things that of this movie that you disliked, of anything that we haven't mentioned yet?
The hospital scenes.
Yes.
Why is no one around?
Okay. So we were watching four together, right? And then we watched this one the day after, and we both said the same thing. Like, I'm sick of these hospital scenes with one person. I've been to the hospital many times, okay? I have three children. You can't go and take a piss without six nurses being up your ass.
But that's something that's in the Halloween franchise also.
Yes.
If you watch the original Halloween 2, it's only her in the hospital. It's her and the nurses and him, and he's chasing her.
I know. Makes no sense.
I don't see any other patients. And then if you watch the Halloween 2 Rob Zombie version, you know, the dream sequence in the beginning, she's in the hospital, and once again, she's by herself.
Yeah.
Nobody else is there. It's really weird.
These horror hospital scenes need to be a little bit more realistic. Like, even if there's, like, 17 dead bodies on the floor, I'd be like, okay, well, that's more believable. You had to get through a lot of people first. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there was one person on the ground.
And he was dead.
Yeah.
Obviously, I know the power went out.
Nobody around. There was no other patients wandering the halls, no nurses, no doctors, no other staff. You know, it's weird because, you know, hospitals aren't really like that, especially nowadays.
No, yeah, well, the fucking pandemic, you know. Well, actually, that's not true because all the nurses left. Ba-dum-tsh! Bad joke. Too soon? All right, I'll get out. All right.
What?
Sorry. All right. So let's get into some takeaways from this movie. I put a solid start to the new era of Scream, and that's really what I would like to see. If they're going to continue the franchise, give us something new, put the as we call them, legacy characters in the past, and let's see a new cast of characters in this movie. What about you guys?
Yeah, I hope it continues with the sisters. I would like to see where that goes. You know, because Sydney at the end kind of passed the torch to her, you know, and I hope, you know, they kind of just disappear in the background, like they move on with their lives and the story continues with them.
I would enjoy that.
I definitely want them to move away from the Sydney Prescott era, because I cannot watch another Scream movie where she gets stabbed in the stomach.
Oh my God.
And gets thrown down and you think she's dead and then she comes back. How many? I think she does that in like four of them. And I'm like, I can't watch it again.
Yeah, it's like, how many times can you get stabbed?
Yeah, let's retire them. She had a great bowing out moment in this movie. I love them and everything for what they did in the other movies, but let that rest.
You know, it's funny because two of the movies that we're picking tonight, Halloween, Scream, obviously I know all three of us, they're probably two of our favorite horror franchises.
Absolutely.
But if you think about it, they have something so in common. You have Jamie Lee Curtis, the original final girl, and you have Sydney Prescott, Nev Campbell, our generation's final girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about it, it's like, there's a lot that these guys have in common. Granted, Michael Myers is one entity, but Billy Loomis and Stu Mocker, you always think of those two when you think of Ghostface.
Yeah, well, they're the best. The originals.
Yeah, but there's something more than just that. Yeah, they are the best, but there's a very specific reason they're the best. You had that, like, it was that whole movie. You're like, who the fuck is this demonic person? And they threw it in your face that it could be Billy. And then they swerved you around that. And they had you thinking the entire movie, like, who is this killer? And then it's revealed that it is Billy and it is Stu. And it was such a mind fuck. And again, these two movies, granted, I'm not going to go too far into Halloween because it's a little crazy with, you know, Michael coming back so much. But Scream was so scary because it was so real.
Yeah, that's the reason why I liked it so much, was because, you know, how many times are you home alone and the phone rings? You know, it's that vulnerability.
Yeah, but then the problem is you answer the phone and instead of Ghostface, which I would love, it's, excuse me, can we talk to you about your car's extended warranty program? like just once, you'd be like,
I'd much rather be Ghostface.
I'd much rather have Ghostface.
Can't Ghostface just call me once?
Listen, even if it's like, hey, do you want to play a game or watch a scary movie? It's like, oh, yeah, let's do this. I'm like, okay, well, first, let's talk about your car's extended warranty program, motherfucker.
That sucks. I don't want that. Just give me Ghostface, call me, kill me, whatever you got to do, but let's have a good time.
I'd rather the threats.
All right, guys, let's break down this movie and give it a review. Let's start with story and plot. I gave it 3.5 out of 5. Love the idea of bringing it all back to the beginning and having Billy brought back into the mix as well. But like I said, that ending really just that threw the whole story and plot off for me. And it really lost a couple of points here, specifically because of that ending. I've said it countless times and I'll probably say it till I'm dead, but a bad ending can ruin an amazing movie. And that's exactly what happened here. What about you?
Yeah, I didn't really like the ending as well. I felt like the boyfriend scenario was just overplayed, and then the friend scenario was just overplayed as well. I would have liked it to be one of the OGs.
That's something we actually didn't talk about. What if it's revealed, let's even say Gail and Sydney are the killers. How would you feel?
I would like it. I would enjoy it.
You would? You would be there for it?
Yep.
All right. You?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. If that was the reveal at the end, I would have been like, holy shit.
Man. Yeah, I thought Gail was going to be it in this one.
This was the ending was like a dud to me.
Yeah.
When they got revealed, I was like, I saw that boyfriend coming from a mile away.
Yeah, so did Dewey, apparently.
In the movie theater, I was like, he's one of the killers. I said it.
Did you?
I said it.
Okay.
I didn't know who the second killer was. I thought it was Wes originally.
And then Wes got his fucking...
Because I was like, why would they have a guy named Wes in the movie unless he's going to be one of the killers? Mm. But then he gets one of the most brutal deaths ever.
I know.
Yeah.
So I didn't know who the second killer was, but I knew it was that boyfriend. And I just thought he was a weak character.
It was a very weak character.
Yeah, I didn't like him. I wasn't a big fan.
Personally, Amber was a weak character for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I could see Amber's character being a little bit weak. But, you know, the boyfriend, I just felt like it's been done before. Yeah, it's been done before. You saw all these, like, little clues, and you're like, yeah, he's one of the killers. And then you're sitting there trying to figure out the other killer.
It's been done before, but way better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, if it was done and it was good,
I would
be like, okay, that's cool, right? But it's already been done in the first movie, and it was way better.
So thinking about it now, I think that's probably why they did that, is it threw it back to the original, which is what this whole movie is. This is a throwback to the original. But I think they fell short on that one. I think they know that they fell short on that one too, which is why I think so quickly they pushed for a sixth one.
Yeah.
They really want to make up for the fails of this movie. As successful as this movie was, I think a lot of people would say that this had a bad ending.
Do you think it's because Wes wasn't...
No, I don't...
make this movie?
No, I don't honestly think it has anything to do with that, because honestly, this whole movie had Wes all over it, even though he had really nothing to do with it. I think they did an amazing job of basically building on something that Wes perfected. It's just they fell short at the ending, and I think... The more that I think about it, I think they tried hard to go back and redo the original. The psycho friend and the boyfriend.
Well, like Sydney says,
don't fuck with the original.
But it's true, because you can't.
Yeah.
That was like capturing lightning in a bottle in that first movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
No matter how many sequels they make, they can't recapture it.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been touching on it a little bit. Let's dive right into the characters. I gave it a score out of 4. I felt, like I said, we've been talking about it, the idea of having these new characters extend from the OG cast. Brilliant. I thought a lot of them were done so good. Randy's niece and nephew. You had Wes Hicks, obviously Judy Hicks' son. I'm trying to, like, rattle, obviously Billy Loomis's illegitimate daughter. He probably fucked her behind a dumpster in the back of the movie renting place. That's what I'm just guessing. I'm speculating here. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, that's something Billy would do.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
It is.
What do you guys think about the characters? Any characters specifically stand out to you that we haven't discussed, maybe?
I'll give the characters a 3, and I'll tell you why.
I'm here for it.
Even though they're younger and they're coming into the franchise, you know, new and fresh, they still didn't top the OG characters to me. So they're coming in, and they're not really, like, breaking any new ground.
Okay.
So they didn't really, like, do it for me. But maybe the next one they'll grow a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe they'll progress a little bit. But in this one, I didn't really think they were all that great.
You?
I would have to give it a 3.5.
She's going 3.5.
I liked how they tied back the characters in relation to the originals. Mm-hmm. But it was the first movie, so you have all these new characters being introduced, so there's not a lot of time to kind of grow on that. And I think 6 will now grow on the survivors and how they go on their lives.
Okay. Let's tap into score and music. It's a horror film. As much as I hate saying it, I mean, there's really not much to a horror film, but like we've said before, the score can really add or deflate a kill scene. And I think that's what they did perfectly here, which is why I gave it a 3. The parts that have great music and score exceptionally well, but overall it's a horror movie. So the music and the score doesn't really add to it except for those couple parts. But I think it did well where it did it.
Yeah, in the first movie, it plays like a big role.
Yeah,
the
music.
But in this one, it really did it.
Yeah,
I didn't really notice the music at all.
There was the one scene which, again, throwback to the original. They played the song from the original, yeah. And then again, the score was done well during the kill scenes, and that's really all it did for me. What about you?
Yeah, because I mean, that's the only time you really heard music. You know, there was so much more with, you know, right, with the characters. So, but I did like the throwback to the original.
I think that's a big part of this movie, is just it throwing it back. All right, cinematography. For anybody that's not familiar with this term, because I feel like it gets lost in translation a lot, it is the art of making the film. Camera angles, lighting, just how the characters are positioned on screen, your composition, all that stuff. Honestly, for a horror movie, I think this film did it so well. They didn't shy away from the kill shots. They were right in on top of the kill shots. There was a lot of artistic scenes. And again, we talked about it. Dewey's scene, probably one of the best overall shot scenes in the entire movie.
Dewey's murder was my favorite. Yeah. The way it was shot.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't like that it happened. I wish it didn't happen at all. But I liked the scene of him walking down that hallway by himself with Ghostface there.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was like, just had that eerie feeling to it. Great atmosphere.
Yeah.
I thought it was the best shot scene in the movie. But that's just my
favorite. No, it's, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I have to agree. I like how it was like shot in slow motions, like him taking out his gun, emptying his gun, refilling the gun, and kind of just waiting for that moment. And then when it happened, it just, you know, it lasted, and you kind of held your breath for that moment, and then it was done.
Yeah.
Suspense.
And even after the death, I mean, you have that really emotional scene with Courtney Cox. And again, they ruined that in the trailer, because I would have loved to have been surprised by that, because that was a very emotional scene. And as soon as Dewey died, I thought to myself, like, okay, here's the scene from the trailer. That was the first thing that popped in my head. But again, all of that stuff just made for such a great cinematography for this movie. I definitely gave it a 5. What do you want to throw out a number for it, or?
I'll give it a 4.
Okay.
I'll give it a 4.
What about you, love?
I would give it a 5.
Okay. Perfect. And here's the biggest thing. I have it as a separate thing, as a separate category, because it's a big part of the movie, an ending. And this one, I know I gave it a 2. I feel like I'm being lenient there, no?
I would have given it either a 2 or 3, but
okay.
No, I wouldn't go any higher than that.
Just a complete deflation of the overall movie. Lazy and poorly done, which is basically what we've been saying. Hopefully with the next one, we can get a little bit more sustenance throughout the whole movie and a good, solid ending, because overall, this movie, I gave it a 3.4, and that's an average of all the scores, but I feel like that score would have easily been bigger or more had this ending been better.
Yeah, I look at Scream 4,
yeah,
the reveal at that one.
Oh, it's great.
And that completely caught me off guard. I was not expecting it to be the niece.
No, or the nephew.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, so I was just like, you're an idiot. You think I didn't catch it? I did. Yeah, I was not expecting it. So when this happened, I saw this coming from a mile away. And there's the reasoning.
I would be okay with this ending. And again, I would still hate it, but I would be okay with it if it turns out we've talked about this, Tara, that Stu was kind of like the puppet master for these two.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted Stu to come back so bad.
And, you know, I get that there's people out there like, Stu's dead, leave him the fuck alone. It's like, no, the guy's like, listen, this beautiful gentleman to my left had a firsthand experience with Matthew Lillard and held his head from the top while telling him and explaining to him how he had sex with somebody's wife. Whose wife was that? Bruce's, wasn't it? No?
I can't remember, man.
I don't either.
All I remember was just being lost in the moment of him grabbing my head and then, you know, us sharing a moment.
Right. And but another thing that he spoke about was how the original Scream 3 script had Stu in it. And Stu was controlling essentially all of these ghost faces.
I was just going to say, that would have been a great storyline to bring back in this one.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. We could have finally did it. We could have Stu and Billy back.
I know.
And it would have been great.
Do you think do you think it's coming? Or do you think they've lost it, just leave it alone?
I really hope it's coming in the sixth one to make up for this one.
I want it to happen.
Okay.
Because I want Stu back. But I don't know. Lately, like, with the horror franchise and stuff like that, I feel like they're just, you know, very repetitive. And okay, I would love to see if Stu, but I don't know if anyone out there has it in them to actually make that happen.
I don't think so.
See, the thing with me, why the ending is so awful is because the stakes were high with this movie. It was a returning franchise. You had, I think, 10 years, right? Was the last one?
2004? Was that 2002?
No, 2012.
Was it 12?
I think so.
I'm going to look really quickly while you finish up whatever you're saying.
So I think it was around that, maybe 10 or 11 years. So the stakes are high for this one, and you expect them to go all out.
Yeah, it had a huge fan base, and it was like, oh, you know, the anticipation and waiting and getting your tickets early and then going and then sitting and watching it.
So it was 2011 Scream 4 came out. So, yeah, we're talking 11 years ago. Was the last one. But yeah, Scream has such a huge fan base. And I think we experienced that firsthand. You really got an overall feel of how big of a fan base it is. We met Matthew Lillard and Skeet Ulrich at Monster Mania Con in New Jersey. The lines for those two were insane to just see them.
Absolutely.
Like 8 hours, somebody said that they were waiting.
Yeah, the first day they waited like 8 hours, and they were supposed to leave at like 6, and they ended up staying till like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, that's right. They stayed later to sign autographs the first day. I remember somebody saying that. It's insane how big of a fan base Scream has. And again, it was the first real horror movie of our generation for us, because we were born after the Friday the 13th, the Nightmare on Elm Street. Even Halloween was before our time, but Scream. We were young, but Scream was our movie. It was made for us.
It made me fall in love with slasher horror films.
Yeah.
It was, you know, something so realistic.
Can I just say something about Monster Mania again?
Go. Yeah, yeah.
So I waited 2 hours for Skeet. Awesome guy.
Yeah.
I loved it. Matthew Lillard, I had a VIP. I could skip the line. And there were people waiting there for probably 5-6 hours. And the look that they wanted to kill me as I cut this line.
That's just how everybody looks at you.
Yeah, well, they just look at they look at me like that normally.
Yeah.
But because I cut the line in about 2 seconds.
I don't even know. Like, they should put you in, like, a different area so that it's not like, oh, that's the son of a bitch. That's like the people with the fast passes at Six Flags.
Exactly what it is.
I fucking can't stand them. Rich motherfuckers.
Hey, I paid.
I hate white people. All right, guys. Scream. I gave it an overall score of 3.4. Off the top of your head, if you had to give it an overall score, where would you put it?
I'd be around like 3.5.
Okay. Okay. Hun?
I would give it like a 4.
4. She went above and beyond. Okay. All right.
It has potential. It
has potential. Like me?
Absolutely.
Aw. She's being nice. I like this. We should record more. I'm actually being treated nice.
Oh, fuck off.
Ah, there it is. Guys, we've done Scream, and now we're going into our second movie, Halloween Kills. Why is it? What the fuck? Whatever. Perfect. All right, Halloween Kills, ladies and gentlemen. This movie, directed by David Gordon Green, written by Scott Teams, Danny McBride. By the way, is it the Danny McBride that was part? It is the Danny McBride?
Yes, it is.
Interesting. Okay. and David Gordon Green, the writers, producers, Malek Ahmed. Malek Ahmed. I'm going to get in so much trouble for that. Jason Blum and Bill Block. Try saving that times fast. 105-minute runtime. I believe the extended edition is 117 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. The extended edition is out. And here's an interesting one. $20 million budget, $131.6 million in the box office. Did better than Scream.
It did.
It did. Here's the shitty part. Rotten Tomato of 40% critic, 66% user rating. Did not do better than Scream here.
No.
This is what shocked me, because as we start talking about this, we'll get breakdown, you know, the good and bad here. But I thought personally that this had better overall. You all right?
Sorry.
Dude, he's fucking everything up right now. What are you doing?
Just pissing me off. To
Let's see how many times he fucks this up. Hold on, it's two. Hold on. Wait. We're good. All right. Pull it in a little bit. Swing it in. Right there. Yep, as soon as it touches the nose.
Okay.
what was I saying? Oh, Halloween. 40% and 66% user rating. I felt that it would have gotten a better rating than this. And personally, I mean, maybe I was being very ambitious, but I felt that this could have also been certified fresh, but clearly not.
This movie was really down the line, because I'm in a couple of horror groups, and a lot of people hated this movie.
I've seen that.
A lot.
Yeah. As soon as we got out of the theater, I started seeing the hatred on the internet. And I remember bitching to you, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know why. I loved this movie.
Here's the thing. I notice with people when they go to a movie now, they literally go to a movie just to critique everything.
Yeah, so but I do that.
They can't go to a movie and just have a good time and just like watch the movie and be like, oh, this is cool. It has to be like, oh no, this one scene sucks, so the whole movie sucks. And that's how people are.
I feel like you're attacking me right now.
I'm talking to you.
And I'm here for it.
I'm looking at you and I'm talking to
like
you.
Like, he literally was like, he's pointing to his eyes.
One scene in the movie is not that great, so the whole movie sucks, which is, that's not how a movie works.
Okay.
You could just dislike that one part of the movie, but the rest of the movie could still be great. But guys like Mike, that's not how they operate.
What do you mean?
What's that mean?
All right. Let's talk about the kills, because
best part of the
movie. Honestly, this movie, first of all, kudos to Michael Myers, because now you've overtaken Jason Voorhees as the slaughter king.
Yep.
I'll get the exact numbers in a second, but Michael Myers, because of this movie, has beaten Jason Voorhees as for most kills throughout the franchise.
He's badass in this movie.
Hell yeah. Badass doesn't even begin.
And the kills were fucking brutal. Each one. It was crazy.
I loved it.
What are your favorite kills? Or name one of your favorite kills.
I know a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this, but the firefighter scene. Oh,
yeah. The firefighter scene?
Yeah.
A lot of people just got triggered, for the record.
I love the chop saw to the guy, the firefighter's face.
Okay.
That was nuts, man. Or the skill saw, whatever you want to call it.
That was crazy. Yeah. Can I just say that the most brutal, disgusting death scene in this whole movie is that shitbag boyfriend getting killed on the stairwell. Man.
That was messed up. Why did he deserve that?
God.
Well, yeah, why? That was fucked up. But what about the lady with the old guy?
And yeah, but
she had a light bulb go through her neck, and listen, she was still alive after that.
That was a good scene. But babe, like, this poor son of a bitch. Yeah, granted, he cheated on the daughter or the.
Wait, I'm sorry. So so I'm in these groups once again.
Right.
And it's a lot of women in there. So
that's why you're in them.
Well, yeah. I'm a stalker. Look at everybody.
Of course. But pick up, please.
They're talking about this scene, the boyfriend, how he gets killed, right? And they're saying he deserved it because he cheated on her. I'm like, this kid is in high school.
I know.
He's in high school. He does, what the hell? He's not married to the girl. And I think, what did he do? He kissed like another girl?
Hey,
they're thinking that he deserves this brutal killing that he gets. I mean, it was insane. He got, I think he got the most brutal killing in the movie.
I was going to say that easily is. Now, it's not even just a kill scene. Like, Michael Myers comes out of the fucking closet, beating the shit out of this poor guy, stabs him multiple times, and then just destroys him in the fucking stairwell. But he's not done there.
No, he's not done.
He walks down the stairs staring, and I can't remember her name, but basically Jamie Lee Curtis's granddaughter in the movie, and just upturns this poor fucker's head.
Oh, my God. She's like, kill me. And he's just like, wait, I'll be right there. And then turns his neck the other way.
Oh, shit.
Like he wasn't dead enough.
What about this scene when he does kill the old couple and he takes the knives out and he tries out all the knives?
All the knives.
Oh, my God.
That was a runner-up for me.
Come on.
That was insane.
He goes, nope, not good enough. Not good enough.
Nope.
Oh, God.
It was like he just couldn't get satisfied.
Was it me or was like Michael more like cunning in this movie? Like he
absolutely
was, he wasn't like some brain dead zombie walking around killing people. He was like smart.
He knew he had a purpose,
right? Well, the playground scene where he set bodies up on the spin wheel thing
was great.
He never did that before in any of the other movies. This is like he was like a big fuck you to everyone. This is what I do, and this is I'm gonna continue to do it.
Him standing there with the bloody skull mask was nuts.
And we were talking about it in Scream, how it was such a throwback to the OG. What about in this one?
Yeah.
It was nothing but throwbacks to the original.
This movie had a lot.
They threw it back to Scream 3 with the pumpkin head and the witch head and in that one scene. That's what I said.
No, you said Scream 3.
Did I say Scream 3? Fuck yous all. Right? Halloween 3. But I'm saying, like, they threw it back. They obviously brought back some, they brought back their own legacy characters. There's a lot of, similarities in these two movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I like about them is they brought them back, but in, like, two different stories. And then at the end, they came together type thing.
Yeah. Mark.
Wait.
like the old characters from the other Halloween.
Teaming up with the new characters.
Right. Yeah, like they weren't introduced at.
Why are you looking at my face?
No, because I wish we were recording video because I look over at Mark. He's like looking up at the ceiling, manufacturing what the fuck Tara just said.
My bad.
I was like. What is she saying right now? And I didn't know if I should say anything
about that. Fuck. Oh, man. All right. Sorry, guys. Like Tara said, you basically, and for the record, babe, I knew exactly what you were saying. It's just Mark's fucking face was so brilliant. You basically, both movies did it. You have new characters. You have the legacy characters. All tying it in together, and again, like you said, bringing it all together at the end. Can we talk about, real quick, because we have differencing of opinions on this scene, specifically, the hospital scene in Halloween Kills, and I'm talking about the hospital scene where it really brings you into the psyche of being somebody that lives in this town that has been tormented by Michael Myers their entire life. They are so dead set on killing Michael Myers. They're throwing caution to the wind. It's like, that motherfucker's Michael Myers. And they're chasing after him, and literally it shows you how crazy this fucking town is.
Well, they weren't tortured by him their whole lives, because he was gone for 40 years. So he had the killings in 1978, and then he was gone for 40 years. Most of these people that are in this town weren't even alive.
No, but most of the legacy characters that we're talking specifically,
you're talking about the town as a whole,
right?
I'm saying,
but who led the charge?
Yeah, he did, but I don't know. I just didn't like the way he did it.
No,
no, not really.
What about you? Because I know we've discussed this before.
Here's why I didn't like it.
Go ahead.
He knows how destructive Michael Myers can be, right? And he knows what he's like. He's like a force, right? Force of nature, and he takes a bat. And he's walking around a town like he's Negan from The Walking Dead. And I'm like, dude, you really think that you're going to go up to Michael with the bat and that's going to be it? You're just going to knock his head off and he's done? Like, it felt cheap. I'm like, why isn't anybody in this town packing any heat? One guy in the whole town has a gun in this movie, by the way.
There was one guy.
There was one guy.
Yeah.
One guy in the whole town. The whole town doesn't believe in guns, apparently. So I thought it was just like, you know, I guess suspending reality to get something to, I don't know, to get their point across. But I didn't think it was done well.
I have mixed feelings about this particular scene. I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to basically say, like, these people are so obsessed with catching this killer, you know, and they don't want any more people, you know, being killed. And yes, they come up obsessed with it. But I think it was very dramatized and kind of stretched out. I think it could have been shorter. And then the scenes that they could have added more, like Michael Myers scenes, to kind of play in with that. But I get what they were trying to do, but I just feel like it was too long.
Okay. What, the movie was too long, or that scene was too long?
No, that scene was too long. I think that, you know, and Jamie Lee Curtis spent most of the movie in the hospital, you know? I would have liked to see her get out of the hospital.
So that actually brings me to my next point that I have here. And interestingly enough, I'm the opposite way. I love that Jamie Lee, or Laurie, was out of the picture nine tenths of this movie, because it gave you this whole perspective of Michael Myers from somebody else's viewpoint. It showed you, again, just how terrorizing this son of a bitch is without it being Laurie. Like, yeah, she's part of the story still, but they removed her enough from it so that it shone the spotlight on these new characters.
Right, so you could let other characters shine, because if she was going the whole movie, other people would have took a backseat.
Yeah.
So it let the other characters come back, legacy characters come back, and they took the spotlight.
And no offense, but it looks like the next movie, Halloween Ends, is going to be just an all-out war between Laurie and Michael.
I think it's going to be awesome.
This is going to be one hell of a culmination, I'll tell you that much. And I cannot wait to not only watch it, but talk about it on this show with you two. Like, that is going to be fun. Maybe we can do a live watch along with that one.
That'd be great.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Go ahead.
So what did you, what was your favorite part of this movie?
Favorite scene or part?
Yeah, I guess favorite scene in the movie.
My favorite scene, personally, was the hospital scene. I liked, and now listening to Tara talk about it, yeah, it definitely did drag on for a bit, but I thought it really showed what Michael can do to somebody, how fucked up he can get and mess with somebody's head to the point where you're literally going insane trying to kill him. I think my favorite kill scene, we've already discussed it, was the boyfriend's kill scene. It was just brutal. It was an absolute massacre of him.
It's really overboard, man.
Yeah.
You felt bad. I mean, obviously you feel bad to anybody that dies in this goddamn movie, but it was just so, like, just shows how sick Michael is.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't care about anybody.
Well, what I liked about it is it goes back to him playing games with people.
Okay.
From the original.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He's playing with them.
Yeah, he really played this.
This is like how he paints a canvas. His murders in this movie. Like, he is, and it's like coming up with all new creative ways in this one.
Yeah. Without a doubt. What about you? Do you have a favorite scene or kill? I know I think you mentioned the kill was,
The firefighter scene. Okay. I just thought, you know, this is how brutal Michael is. Like, you know, you think of a firefighter, they're out there risking their lives every day for us, you know? And he's so evil that he would kill a whole bunch, you know, and he didn't care.
No.
My favorite scene actually is the chase when he chases Lindsay into the.
Oh,
I love that scene.
Yeah,
I thought that was old school horror.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Her hiding. It's actually a scary scene.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's chasing her, and he's just like a machine coming at her. And the way he stages those bodies on the
playground.
Oh, yeah,
I loved it, man. I thought that was just the best part of the whole movie.
I mean, it's definitely, it's one of those scenes that, yeah, that definitely bring you there. But yeah, I mean, honestly, the more I'm talking about this movie, it really is a solid movie beginning to end. And it's actually flabbergasting. That's a big word, Mark. I can explain it to you later if you want me to. It's weird how just, I feel like it got less love than Scream did. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, yeah, there were good parts of Scream. Yeah, there were great deaths, but this movie had everything from beginning to end.
Do you want me to say my opinion why I think it got hated?
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm listening.
So why I think it got hated is because the dialogue really insults people's intelligence. Very, very cheesy, very forced dialogue. They're constantly telling you the story of Halloween from the original. And it's like, most of the people going to see this movie, we know the story. Mm-hmm. We don't need you to keep recapping what happened.
But let me ask you a question. They didn't do that in Scream? The whole thing was cheesy meta-dialogue.
They're not constantly, like...
They were!
You killed your sister in this room, and it was in this house. And it was just very force-fed dialogue, where you're just like... Scream did do it.
Yeah.
They did but not like that, where it was, like, so in your face, and it was constantly... The whole movie is them recapping...
Almost like insulting your intelligence.
As a Halloween fan, because Halloween's my favorite horror franchise, and I know the story in and out, and I don't need you to keep telling me where he killed his sister. I don't need you to keep... And the scene that's cringy to me in the movie, my least favorite scene... is, what's her name, Karen, the daughter?
Karen.
So she's at the end, and she's telling him where he killed his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And telling him where it all happened. Like, I think he knows.
Yeah.
I think we all know who he killed, where he killed, what room it was in.
I think we're past that at this point. Like, we're not playing Clue. Like, it's not like, you know, Michael Myers in the ballroom with the candlestick.
Then the granddaughter.
Yeah.
All she did in this movie was scream. Yeah. Every line, every time you saw her on screen, I think she has one calm line in the movie. The rest of the scene, she's screaming. Very obnoxious. Like, they find out Michael's still alive. She goes, "What?" And she screams on top of like, even that was so, like, some of the acting was so over the top and cringe that I think it really brought down the movie, because anytime Michael's on the screen, it was great.
Right.
Michael made this movie what it is.
The guy that's played him in these past two movies, fucking great. Fantastic.
I met him. Awesome
he's a
dude.
Big fucking dude,
awesome
too.
Dude.
Yeah, well, he's going to be at Monster Mania Con when we go in a few weeks.
Yeah, I got an awesome
Yeah, we're
picture
definitely
going to
meet him.
Yeah.
I met him in the castle, man.
Nice.
Awesome.
Fucking sweet.
Awesome.
Really quickly, we've been talking about, you know, what people didn't like. I specifically, the one thing that really killed it for me, they really got, like, I don't even know what to call it, but they were alluding to Michael's mask holding these powers.
Right.
And it was like, okay, are we getting, like, paranormal almost with this shit? Like, his fucking mask holds these powers? No, he's just a sick mental fucking dude that, guys, listen, the sad fact is, like, if you believe, like, I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie, what the hell was it? Split, I think it was? It was the sequel to Unbreakable.
Yes.
I did not see it.
Yes, I did.
Split is the theory that if you have... It's basically about a person that's battling split personality.
Okay.
Now, part of that split personality is he believes he is...
Oh, no, split when he has like 60 personalities.
Yeah, yeah.
And he turns to the big monster.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I did see it.
If you believe so much in yourself that you are something, you essentially become it. Michael Myers believes he's a monster.
Yeah, but... They have the scene where Laurie says the more he kills...
The stronger he gets.
The stronger he gets. So they're kind of really pushing...
That's what I'm saying.
They're pushing this...
Yeah.
This thing about Michael that...
Like he's Lord Voldemort and Michael Myers is making fucking horcruxes.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of it.
No. That's the part that's like, you know what? I don't need this. Like, I don't need to think that Michael Myers has secret fucking powers. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of did that in the original franchise, though, when he had the thorn, though. They made him like he's super Saiyan Michael, and he's taking guys and ripping their faces off, and you know what I mean. Like, even though I love the Thorn trilogy, I'm a huge fan of Halloween 6.
Right.
But he's OD.
I know. What were you gonna say, hun? I don't remember. All right, let's break down the ending because I thought it was a solid ending, but and I know I said this to you, Mark, the extended edition ending. Or
much
the
better.
Alternate ending?
Much better.
Way fucking better.
Yeah,
way better. Like, what were you thinking?
Why did they cut that?
I don't know. Did you've seen the extended edition with the alternate ending?
I don't think so.
No? So, let me break it down for you. So, the alternate ending, instead of it just ending with Laurie staring out of the hospital after Michael killing Karen, Michael kills Karen, Laurie tries calling Karen's cell phone. then all of a sudden Laurie picks up, somebody picks up on the other end, and it's Michael breathing. And so now Laurie knows, like, you killed my daughter. And she goes, I'm coming for you, Michael. And that's it. And it's just her walking out of the hospital. And it's so, it sets up the next movie.
Oh,
the,
man, I wish.
Perfect.
I wish they would have put that
Yeah,
in there.
I don't get it.
Oh. And you get the clarification that the daughter is dead.
Yeah.
Because in the in the theatrical ending, you're kind of like.
Oh, she's fucking
dead.
Did
she die, or is this just like a,
right.
a dream? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Kind of weird the way it was shot.
Yep.
I much prefer that cut ending.
Yeah.
Big time.
I mean, again, there's a lot of movies where I really prefer the alternate ending versus the original. I know we've talked about this. The alternate ending to one of my favorite movies, Butterfly Effect.
Yeah. There's like three.
There's a three or four different endings.
Yeah.
My favorite one is the one where in order to save everything, he just kills himself inside his mother's womb. And it goes back throughout the whole story about how his mother had miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. And it just lends itself to that part of the story. And in order to save everybody, he just kills himself in the womb. And that's so fucked up. And
I never saw that.
That's ending. A fucked ending.
Yeah, that one was my favorite
movie,
too.
Yeah. I never saw that alternate ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like three or four different ones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Definitely check out the alternate endings to that movie. But again, it shouldn't have even been the alternate ending. It should have been the ending.
Yeah, they make a lot of dumb decisions, don't they, in these movies?
Yeah.
They cut things like.
For time sensitive purposes?
What's an extra 5 seconds?
I don't know, man.
Doing?
And that the alternate ending might be an additional 30 seconds. Maybe.
Yeah, but you would have had to cut the original ending, and then you would have all that time.
Right.
So, you know.
I know. Some takeaways from the movie. We brought it up before. I still can't find the numbers, but Michael Myers finally takes over as the Kill King, taking over Jason. This trilogy is turning out to be a modern-day horror classic series. Again, we're getting one more of this movie. Before it's all over with, Halloween Ends. So we had Halloween, Halloween Kills, and Halloween Ends. How do we think this is going to end? Any ideas?
I think Jamie Lee's going to die with Michael.
Okay. Interesting.
That's actually a good take. I thought Jamie Lee's just going to kill him. But it's going to be a brawl. It's going to be like a, you know, he's not going to go out easy.
I feel like she knows that she can kill him, you know, but at the same time she knows that she would have to die
but
too.
She needs
I was going
to
say,
take him out too.
Yeah.
That actually would be a great. I would actually like that.
I think that's exactly how it's going to be, where it's going to be the two of them facing off at the end, and she knows in order to kill him, somehow she has to sacrifice herself in order to do it.
Now, what if he kills her?
I don't think he wants to kill her just yet.
Does.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I mean, we've already seen him do it.
You know, they could go that way because they could have him kill her and then the franchise could start over with her granddaughter.
Yeah.
But if they really want to end it, then I could see it being them two go out together.
I really hope they don't do that. I'd like to see them go away from this trilogy. I'm not a fan of David Gordon Green's
writing.
Not at all. I didn't like the 2018. I tried.
I still don't get it.
I saw it in the movie theater twice. I really tried to like it. Then I bought the Blu-ray. I was like, let me try it again. And I've watched it three more times. And I'm not seeing it. Besides the ending with the brawl between the two. But
yeah.
It wasn't a scary movie.
But first of all, it has one of the greatest kill scenes I've ever seen in the public bathroom. That scene alone
that was
sent chills up my fucking spine because it wasn't even just a kill scene. It was Michael showing how dominant and I don't give a fuck he is.
Right, but the rest of the movie loses steam.
There's definitely...
That's
like,
in the beginning of the movie.
It's towards the beginning
it's
of the
towards
movie.
The beginning
yeah.
of the movie. So once he kills them and he gets his mask, the movie kind of goes downhill. Up until
he goes back in and invades the house.
How did he know where she lives?
It was the original town.
No, she moved out of
the She town. Moved out of the town?
She lives in like, no, she lives in Haddonfield, but she lives in like some okay. remote location where it's all caged off. How the hell did he just take the cop car and drive up to her which is something I still don't understand about the movie.
Okay.
He kills the doctor.
Well, Mark, somebody once said to me that, you know, one scene shouldn't kill an entire movie.
No, but there's
you cannot like a scene.
There's a bunch of scenes in that one that I just did not like.
I'm just fucking with
what
you,
about the I got peanut butter on my penis line?
That's my line.
I hate it. Yeah, that is your line.
He always says that. But
it really sucks. It
sucks.
It really sucks. I mean, and I hated the way he kills the dad, the father at the end.
That was a, like, I didn't expect that.
So cheap.
See, I'm opposite. I loved Halloween.
Yeah, I thought it was a great movie.
I did not like it.
I loved it.
And I'm a huge, I love,
we know.
I love the Halloween franchise, so I guess I'm just really picky.
Maybe.
It's gotta be.
You know, maybe. But I'm also, I like some of the ones that everybody hates, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say, you like six.
I love six.
All right. Let's break this one down. Story and plot. I gave it a 3. I appreciate the town's descent into madness. However, I felt that the overall plot felt stagnant and unfulfilled for most of the movie. But overall, I still think it was a solid story, solid plot. Obviously, this is the middle part of a trilogy, so I'm okay with it being somewhat of a fluff piece because obviously, you know, we're getting something big at the end. So I gave it a 3. Tara?
I have to give it a 3, too. Okay. I feel like the, like you said, it's kind of fluffing for the next one. It was, you know, it didn't, there was no really, like, character development, you know, with the storyline. It's just the same. So I'm hoping that it gets better in the next one.
Mark.
I gave it a 2.
2?
Yeah, because I really hated the whole how they mistake him for that other guy. Okay. And I just, like, how? How do you even get them mixed up at all? I thought that was really dumb and really forcing it. Trying to make it like, oh yeah, it's this guy. Let's chase him. Why would he run away from you in a car when he's Michael Myers? You know what I'm saying? Like, even know what I mean? It's dumb. Yeah. This guy, Michael Myers, doesn't fear anything.
No, and I agree, but I still love that scene for what it meant to be. Let me put it that way. Characters. So, Tara, you had mentioned that you felt like there really wasn't much character development.
Not really. Okay. I mean, like, it was, there were so many characters involved because the whole town was involved. So The main characters, like you said, like, especially with Laurie Strode, she was in the hospital.
Took a back seat.
So there really wasn't much development. And, you know, with the daughter and the granddaughter, there wasn't really much development there. Okay. They were kind of just still going after Michael.
So what would you give the character score?
Probably a 4.
A 4? Okay.
The legacy characters were really developed in this one.
Well, yeah.
I love how they gave them, like, a little extra story from the original.
I was going to say, yeah, like Tommy Doyle yeah,
progressed.
Right.
The, what's the cop's name? One that's in the hospital with Laurie.
Yeah.
They gave him a nice, because
he was story, that young cop from the original.
Yeah, they gave him a nice backstory of right, what happened that night. I really enjoyed that.
Officer Hawkins.
I really like how they gave them all something a little extra right, to go off of.
And again, like you said, they tied it all back to the original. I honestly thought characters was one of the strongest points of this movie. I gave it a 4.5. What did you give us characters? I'm sorry, Mark.
I would give it a 4.
4? Okay. 5.
We didn't talk about the flashback scene, which I loved.
I was going to say the flashback. There was a couple of them.
There was.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
But
you don't think that added to the story and plot, which you gave a 2, which I feel is very douchebaggery?
No.
Okay.
I loved the scene with, I can't remember, what's the bully's name? another character, I can't remember his name.
Pete?
No.
Lonnie.
Oh.
Lonnie, so yeah.
When he's walking down the street, Lonnie cowers on the floor. And I mean, great. And then you see it. He makes the beeline. His house is right there. Pretty cool, man. I really love the. And honestly, I wish they would have shot the whole movie like that.
Yeah.
I really wish it would have been one big flashback movie.
Oh no, I wouldn't have wanted.
I would have loved it
if it was half flashback, half, you know, modern. That would have been interesting because again, it would have built on the legacy characters and it would have added that. Would have added to the hospital scene, I feel, if you built those legacy characters up more and really got into the whole, like, we need to kill Michael Myers because he's really fucking us up, yeah. I feel. I gave characters a 4.5. Like I said, Michael's caused an unnerving sentiment to this town, and we watch it play out. Score and music, personally, Halloween is, when you think of horror movie scores, you think of Halloween.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, Carpenter's original had some of the best pieces of scoring I've ever seen in a horror movie. Just like the striking keys, like the violins picking up slowly, like weird things that you wouldn't normally put two and two together, but he did. And I feel like they really tapped into it in this whole, this modern trilogy, this one specifically.
I love the Halloween franchise because the music is like just as important as Michael Myers.
Right.
And I love how it's like a character. Mm-hmm. Like that for that original movie, the scores that he puts in that movie really make that movie what it is.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It's amazing. And it's like, you know, the town of Haddonfield is also another character, which I love too.
Yeah.
So it's like one of the only franchises that really does that to the fullest extent and makes it work.
Yep.
You know?
And you could be anywhere and hear that tone and turn around automatically to check and see if Michael Myers is around because that's what triggers you. You know, you get used to the sound. He's such an iconic character that, you know, whenever you hear that music, you know, he's lurking around.
And it's interesting because just as iconic as the, you know, the doo 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 doo.
The other ones even.
Doon.
Yeah.
Doon. Doon. Like that. Oh, like, dude, I'm sorry, but that's more unnerving to me than like.
That one's, that one always in the original movie scared the living shit out of me more than the original theme.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that those striking keys one, like, dun, because that's when he's walking towards you and like your heart is racing and that score, that piece of music in the movie is your heart racing. That, and it plays so well on the keyboard.
It's so great.
And, you know, the more I'm talking about it, I'm like, man, maybe I should have given score a 5 because I feel like that's what this deserves.
That's a perfect 5.
Yeah, I would give it a 5.
I gave it a 4 originally here, but I'm going to change that to a 5 on the fly. That's what we do on this show. We go on the fly in the cinephiles. I don't know. That was stupid. But anyways, cinematography in this one. This one I felt like really where Scream thrived, this one kind of fell flat. There were great kill scenes, but overall, I feel like the artistry was kind of lost in some of the scenes. Some of the camera angles I felt were not working, especially that ending scene. Not like the final scene, but like when Michael puts on the mask again, and he's facing that whole town. It's like weird close-ups of everyone with like the spit flying out and the blood flying out. I felt like that really lost it for me. What about you?
I would give it, I would probably give it a 3.
Okay.
I feel like there was not a lot of different camera angles. But I mean, it could have been better, but I mean, it's horror and it's, you know, it's Michael Myers. He, you know, walks a certain way, you know, for a long time.
Right.
But it definitely could have been better.
More.
I gave that a 4 because I think it was great.
Okay.
I loved it. I thought, especially the flashback scenes, when they have the scenes of the town in the background, and you see the leaves, and he's walking down the street, I really just got that, it's a Halloween night. You know what I mean? You get that vibe, the atmosphere is there. I loved it. And especially the scene when he's chasing Lindsay Wallace, and he has all the bodies spread out. That whole scene, just the way it was shot, I thought it was fucking really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And last but not least, the ending. I preferred the alternate ending, so that's kind of why I actually dropped this back a couple grades, because they used the flat ending. But it was more of a to-be-continued ending than anything else regardless.
You talking about the very ending?
Like, the very ending, okay, yeah. The ending of the movie. Okay. I mean, I'm even going to tie into the whole Michael putting his mask back on, getting his shit kicked out of him by the town, and then just demolishing, like, 9 people.
Dude, it was... I don't even know what to score this. I might go lower than you on this one.
Yeah, I gave it a 3.
You gave it a 3. I might give it a 2 just because of how dumb it was.
Okay.
I mean, you had the lady with the iron in their hand.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, this is what they're coming at. Michael Myers. The whole movie, you're building this guy, but he's a machine.
But that's also how crazy they are. They don't. They're just grabbing what they can.
It's common sense.
There's not much in this town, so.
All right. Well, let's say I live here with you, and there's some serial killer walking around.
I'm grabbing an iron.
I mean, you're gonna just grab a bottle of water and go outside and be like, "Yeah, we're gonna kill this."
We gotta pull a Triple H on him.
Nobody is that dumb. You know what I'm? Just made the. You know what it made the town look like to me? Like a bunch of idiots.
Well,
you're making the town look instead of like this crazed hysteria that you're going for. Okay. It's really making them look like they're dumb.
Okay.
In my opinion, that's just how I took it.
No, that's fine.
And then so there's one guy in the town with a gun, and then you have Tommy Doyle with a bat, and then you had a lady with an iron, and it's just like, all right, you're going against this guy who the whole movie, you know what he is, a killing machine, right? Mm-hmm. And you keep talking about the whole movie, and that's what you come at this guy with, a bat.
Okay.
That you know he's going to take and shove it up your ass, like it's nothing. So I'm just like, it really made the town look stupid, and I wasn't a fan of that.
Okay. And, hon, you would give the ending what?
I would agree with you, a 3.
Okay.
After you explain the alternate ending, I like that one.
Wait, are we grading with the alternate ending?
Well, that's what I graded it based on the original. You can, I mean, if I add the alternate ending, I'm still giving it a 3 because of that scene with the town.
If I'm using the alternate ending, mine will go to a 3. If I'm using the theatrical, I'm giving it
a 2. Okay. So. Yeah. I would agree with you. Yeah. Okay. So overall, I gave it a 3. Actually, with my increased score of score music, it moves up to a 3.7. Still mediocre score. Solid score for a horror movie, though, nonetheless.
Yeah.
You know, no, for a slasher.
It had a lot of good stuff. I mean, I don't mean to trash it all the way because it had a lot of good things right. about it.
You just like trashing things. All right. So we have our two movies. Which one do we think stands out above the other one? And I feel like you're sitting here and you're not sure now because at first you had a clear-cut winner, but I don't think you are. So I am going to throw it to you while Mark ponders a little bit more. Or do you need a minute?
No, I already know. Okay. Halloween Kills is the one I prefer.
Okay. You would watch again.
Yeah, I would watch it again. I watched Scream yesterday.
And today.
And today. And I watched Halloween Kills again the other day to kind of just refresh my memory. And I really enjoyed Halloween Kills more.
Yeah. I remember sitting in bed with you watching Halloween Kills. And I'm like, oh, man, I forgot about this. Oh, I forgot about this. And it was a good movie beginning to end. Again, the theatrical ending falls a little flat. There's a couple of, you know, weird scenes in between here and there. But overall, I love the movie. Love the kill scenes. Scream has great kill scenes. Don't get me wrong. And Scream has some really solid stuff in it. But the ending did it in for me. And like the ending here is subpar. The ending in that movie is just flat. Like flat, flat, flat. Like Mark's ass.
So here's the thing.
All right.
When I first saw them, I would have said Halloween Kills. But after multiple times of seeing them and evaluating them a little bit, I feel so bad because I love Halloween. You know, like to go against my franchise really breaks my heart. But I'm going to go with Scream, and it's just a fucking...
Like a hair?
Like a hair above. And I'm not saying it's killing it, and not way better or anything like that.
Okay.
It's literally if Halloween Kills is a 3.5, Scream is a 3.6.
Okay.
They're right next to each other.
Okay.
I'm not going to say one is blowing the other one out of the water. But what I go by replay value, I'd rather watch Scream today than watch Halloween Kills.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's just some things in that movie that kind of throw me out of it. You know what I mean? The dialogue.
You mentioned that.
I wasn't a fan of the hospital stuff, and I don't want to sit through that again.
Okay.
So, that's my take on it.
Don't get me wrong. Watch both of these movies. They're both amazing bits of horror movies. And they're, like Mark said, it's basically one and 1A as far as like which one is better. You can pick either one, and you're not wrong. I still prefer Halloween Kills. And again, it's probably just for the ending. If the ending in Scream was even like a half a smidge better, I probably would be putting that way above Halloween Kills right now because I felt like there was more, more meat in Scream than there was in Halloween Kills. But Halloween Kills was just kind of like this, where Scream was like this and then went like that. And by the way, I'm holding my hand and I'm kind of like doing like a heartbeat monitor, and then the one flatlined.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I just realized that there's no visual representation of what the fuck I just did.
I can definitely see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But I don't think...
I'm not trying to persuade you, by the way.
No, I'm just... But, like, the way it killed the movie for you, it didn't kill the movie for me. Even though I was a little disappointed,
okay,
it still didn't kill it. I could still watch it today and be like, you know, that was pretty good.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right, guys, we did it. We put our first episode of The Cinephiles in the bag. This was fun. We're going to be doing a lot of these. I mean, we have movies upon movies upon movies, TV shows upon TV shows that we're going to be talking about. I feel like we're going to predominantly do a lot of horror movies because that's our breadbasket. But we're going to have some fun movies here, too. Some movies that I know that these two probably have never seen that they're going to have to watch. And there's probably movies that I've never seen that I'm going to have to watch. That's for damn sure. But I'm excited to do it with these two wonderful people. And guys, thank you for doing this with me. Until the next episode, I'm Mike.
I'm Mark.
I'm Tara.
I'm Tara. So cute. All right, guys, it's The Cinephiles.
Why didn't you say I was cute, too?
Oh, fuck off.
Fuck off, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you later.
See ya.
See ya.
Rapper.
Yo, turn my headphones up.
So you can just hear yourself rapping? That must be so weird.
You want to hear your own level so that you know that you're coming through.
Yeah, you heard what he said.
Ugh.
Can you be a
rapper? I can't hear myself.
Can you be a rapper so I can do all your ad-libs? That's a beatboxer, Mike. That's not a rapper.
I was about to rap and then you interrupted me.
Oh, fuck, you weren't going to say a goddamn thing.
He had to get ready.
To get ready to be an asshole.
While I smoke this blunt and my friend Mark is sitting here, except the fact that he's a giant queer.
Ooh.
Oh, but he loves the deer because he's a giant steer.
Steer. You gotta have somebody repeat what you say.
Yo, let me tell you what a bitch. Hey.
Can we do that on the pod?
What?
A nice rap.
A nice rap.
Hey, yo, what?
We represent Mastic Beach, so we have to say a rap nasally.
Southside Suffolk in the house, bitch.
This blowjob on the side of the road.
Yo, I love a gummer.
Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
Give it in the back of my Hummer. And maybe in the summer, not in the spring, because I got my thing hooking up with your grandma in the back of the Dairy Queen.
Yo, Mike is like fame to me. But yo, I'm about to Chris Benoit your whole family.
Yo! What?
That's going on the pod. I spit heat for the pods.
Mike's like, oh shit, I forgot to record that.
Yeah.
No, it's all being recorded.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.